Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, if you have your Bibles, briefly this morning, I just want to look at Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to look at, starting with verse 10. And we started a series last week called The Fight of Your Life, and we're talking about spiritual battles, spiritual warfare. And today I want to talk about being mission ready whenever we go to battle. And that in Ephesians chapter 6 is a very well known and it's a very well read passage whenever it comes to spiritual warfare. And we'll be covering the rest of Ephesians chapter 6, the remainder of these verses regarding spiritual warfare, next week. But I just want us to look at verses 10 through 13 this morning. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So this is kind of the basis, the beginning of what Paul wants to communicate to the church at Ephesus about spiritual warfare. And he highlights a few things that we need to have in place. Now, so many times we want to jump down and start with verse 14 and talk about the armor of God and just run with that without looking at verses 10 through 13. This is important to understand the context that Paul is framing everything in. Because so often when we talk about spiritual warfare, if you were to ask someone, what does spiritual warfare mean? You would get all manner of responses. Or you would say, give me an example of spiritual warfare. And there are some people who would look at some major, major, painful struggle in their lives and say that and that alone is spiritual warfare. I went through a very difficult time, someone might say. And during that difficult time, I had to do spiritual warfare. I had to pray and had to seek God. Or I had to look for God's will in the midst of this. And I just really struggled in the midst of that. Or maybe it's a very, very specific, very difficult season of temptation. And a person might say, I was so tempted and I just had to go before God and I had to pray and I had to lay it out before him and I had to surrender and I just wrestled through that. And that was a time of spiritual warfare. Then you have other people who may be on kind of the other end of the spectrum. And for them, everything is spiritual warfare. Can't find a parking place. Well, that's spiritual warfare. Satan's trying to get a hold of me. You try to call the credit card company. You get put on hold for a long period of time. Oh, well, spiritual warfare, trying to upset me. You know, traffic, you're backed up in traffic. Spiritual warfare, you know, things trying to throw me off. I forgot to pay the bill, and now I have a late fee. Spiritual warfare. Every little thing that comes along, people say, well, that's spiritual warfare. Well, I think those two extremes both, and it can be spiritual warfare, but I think in both of those extremes, they miss the largest portion of spiritual warfare. We conduct spiritual warfare on a day-to-day basis as we live in obedience and faith in Christ. It is a day-to-day battle. So often we think wrestling through this time of intense prayer or this little minor thing that happens, we label those as spiritual warfare, when spiritual warfare takes place every single day, when we do battle with Satan, we do battle with our flesh, we do battle with those spiritual powers, and we surrender to God, we obey God, we read God's word, we pray faithfully, we follow him. That is where we find spiritual warfare. If you look at the life of Jesus, some people say, well, spiritual warfare is when Jesus cast out demons, or spiritual warfare is when Jesus healed someone, or spiritual warfare was when Jesus fought the ultimate battle on the cross. Well, all that is true, but everything in between was just as much spiritual warfare. So what does the Bible tell us about this? Well, the first thing, if we're going to be mission ready, we have to understand that God gives power and protection by his grace. Look at verse 10 and 11. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Put on the whole armor of God. And so God is the one who gives us power and God is the one who gives us protection. Notice it says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. What does that mean, the strength of his might? Might is strength that's on reserve. You see someone who's really strong, really muscular, but they're not exerting that force. They're not exerting that power. That's might. It's power that's in reserve. But then strength is the exercise of that might. And so we find that God has all of this power in reserve, and that God, through Christ, works in us, and he shows that power. That might is put into action, and it comes out in strength. But it comes from God. The power comes from God. The protection comes from God. It is God's armor. So this power that comes from God, we rely upon him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So many times we stress the all things, but not so much the through him. We can do all things through Christ, through him, through he who is within us and works within us. It's God's power that we rely upon. God gives power and protection by his grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, being strengthened with all power. Where does that power come from? God, according to his glorious might. The reserve of power that God has is glorious, and we can call upon him to tap into that power that he's working through us. Notice it says, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. For all endurance and patience with joy. Now listen, during this time, many people have had to show endurance. Endurance is not endurance if it's for a very short period of time. Endurance takes place over time. I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. God says, if you have been wearied running with the footmen, with the foot soldiers, how are you going to compete with horses? If this has thrown you off so much, says God, this inconvenience, what about when a major suffering comes? And the same could be said for the church. If the church, you've heard me say it before, if the church in America can't handle a pandemic, she certainly cannot handle persecution. So if we can't handle the foot soldiers, how are we going to handle the horses? We rely upon the power of God no matter what difficulty we're facing, no matter what struggle we're in the midst of. We rely upon the power of God because God supplies the power, God supplies the protection. Again, it is God's armor. How do we know it's God's armor? Well, sometimes we say, well, this passage in Ephesians, Paul is looking at this Roman soldier next to him, and he's going through those pieces of armor, and that's what he's referring to. Well, possibly in part, but also we have to understand the whole armor of God, it's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. Over in Isaiah, Isaiah 59, verse 17. He, that's God, put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. So it's God's armor. The armor that we put on isn't our own armor. It's God's armor that God, by his grace, has given to us. The same armor that Jesus wears, the same armor that Jesus wore as he went about his physical life here, that spiritual armor is the exact same armor that we are given. Why is that the case? Because now we live in Christ, and Christ is fully clothed in the armor of God. And so God gives his power, God gives his protection, and he gives it by his grace. Which brings us to the next point. We face spiritual enemies, not physical ones. You look in verse 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The word heavenly places, or phrase heavenly places, it means the spiritual realm. It's not talking specifically just about heaven. It's talking about the spiritual realm. That's why sometimes people read that and they get kind of concerned. They say the cosmic powers of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, well, that can't happen. You can't have evil in the heavenly places. Well, it's the spiritual realm that the Bible is referring to there. And there is God, and there are the angels, and there's Jesus, and there are the demons, and there's Satan, everything operating in that spiritual realm that's referred to in the Bible as the heavenly places. And so we find that we wrestle, though, we fight against spiritual enemies, not physical ones. That's an important thing that we need to understand. You find that Paul mentions this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So we're facing spiritual enemies, which is really important because that means our enemy, ultimate enemy, is not a person. Those people that we encounter and we say, oh, that's my ultimate enemy. If we say that people are our ultimate enemies, then that means that we have lost sight of the spiritual reality that is going on. Now, may Satan use a person? Absolutely. It's all through the Bible. Does God use people? Absolutely. All through the Bible. But our ultimate enemy does not reside in flesh and blood. So many times we think, well, I've silenced that person, so I've won the victory. Well, no, you may have silenced a person. But the enemy behind that person, that's what we need to understand. When someone is upset or someone is complaining or someone's throwing a fit or someone's being graceless in our midst and someone's just maybe ruthlessly attacking us, we have to understand there's a spiritual reality at work there. And I'm not saying you say, oh, well, it's always Satan. That person, it's Satan's behind that. I'm saying there's some spiritual reality, whether that's pride, whether that's anger, whether that's arrogance, whatever it may be that's going on in that person, that is coming out in a physical way, but the ultimate enemy is spiritual. I've talked to a number of church leaders just all around the place during the season, and one thing they've mentioned is there's always that little core group of people that want to complain and be displeasurable about what's going on. And I had a guy recently tell me, he said they were upset when we talked about how we were going to do our first phase of our plan, and now they're upset. We're talking about coming back, and they're just upset about everything we mentioned. They just want to say the opposite, and they want to say, I don't like that. That's not right. I don't believe that's right. And I just asked him the question. I said, well, were they complaining before the pandemic? And he said, yeah, actually they were. And I said, well, you know, this is what you end up with. Some people are just going to complain and gripe, and it's a spiritual issue. And sometimes we just have to move forward. Sometimes you just need to say, you know, whatever, Karen, and just move on. I'm going to get a t-shirt printed that says, whatever, Karen. But we face spiritual enemies, not physical enemies. We just have to understand that. But we face Satan, and we have to stand firm against Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Listen to what Peter says. Resist him, that's Satan, resist him firm in your faith. How do you resist Satan? By being firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This is nothing new. Everyone is facing, who is following Christ, everyone is facing a spiritual war, a spiritual attack. And if you say, that's not me, I'm not engaged in spiritual warfare, it is you. We are all, if we're following Christ, we're all engaged in spiritual warfare. Satan is trying to tear down our testimony. He's trying to tear down our well-being. He's trying to tear down our state of mind. He's always working against us in this way. But we have to understand that our ultimate enemy is spiritual, not physical. And so ultimately we have to fight a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. Which brings us to the last point, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. What's our objective? If we're going to be mission ready, we have to know what our objective is. Our objective is to stand firm. Notice he says, take up the whole armor of God, not part of it, the whole armor of God. Surrender your life completely to God. Live in his presence. Be unified with Christ. Live in union with Jesus and allow him to work through you through the person of the Holy Spirit, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And notice this, and having done all, to stand firm. The most important thing is standing firm. Notice he doesn't say, charge the gates of hell. Notice he doesn't say, take up your sword and go and just whoop up on anybody and everybody that gets in your way. It's not what he says. Having done all, to stand firm. To get rooted in the Word of God, in the truth of the Word of God, and stay firm. Put. That's the objective. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Notice it's not staying steadfast and immovable and passive. I'm just going to stay put. and hold my own, and I'm not going to move forward. I'm not going to move back. I'm just going to stay put. Well, it's not that. He says, abounding in the work of the Lord. We dig in, and then we abound. We get our feet planted firmly so that we can work diligently. We get our feet planted upon the Word of God and the truth of God, and that allows us to live for Him, and He empowers us to live for Him. And so we have to understand that the ultimate objective is not to go out and fight this and go out and fight that. It is to stand firm, but standing firm does not mean that I'm passive. It means I'm very, very active. What does it look like to stand? Well, let me just give you a few verses as we close. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we find that we stand in His grace. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand in His grace. His grace that He has given to us. Well, what is grace? Well, it helps if you know the difference in mercy and grace. Mercy is where you do not get something that you do deserve. If you deserve punishment or you deserve some sort of penalty and you do not receive it, that's mercy. Grace is being given something that you don't deserve. Mercy is when something is withheld that you should get. Grace is when you receive something that really you don't deserve to get. So God, in His grace, He has given us. He's given us His Son. He's given us a means to know Him. He's given us a means through the Holy Spirit by which we can be empowered by Him. He's given us His Word so that we can know His heart and know His mind and be transformed by it. He's given us these things out of His grace, and it is in His grace that we stand. We not only stand in His grace, we stand in unity. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are, here it is, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. One of the marks of the Holy Spirit working in a group of people is there will be unity as they work side by side to advance the message of Christ. So we stand in grace. We stand in unity. We stand in faith. Faith is hearing a report, receiving a report from God, and then responding in the right way. We believe what God says, and then we live accordingly. We stand in faith. Philippians 4:1. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. So we stand in grace. We stand in unity. We stand in faith. Ultimately, all of those things mean that we stand in the Lord. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in His grace. Stand firm in His unity. Stand firm in His faith. Stand firm and resist the attacks of the enemy, recognizing that our real enemy is not people. Our real enemy is Satan and the world and the flesh and all the spiritual powers that are working against the work and the will of God in our lives. Let me just ask as we close, are you mission ready? During this time, have you been listening to God and praying to God and allowing God to transform you? There have just been some things over the last few weeks as I've just spent some time with God that God has just shown me about me, that I've laid down, that I've surrendered to God, and some areas that God is saying, you need to work on these areas with me. You need to surrender more in these areas. You need to die to self in these areas. And so God has been doing a work in me, and I hope He's been doing the same in you. I don't think that anybody can go as long as we've gone, whether it's a pandemic or not, and say, you know, God's not changed anything at all in me. God desires to transform us into the image of Jesus because none of us have arrived yet. We all have work to do in us, God to do work within us, to sanctify us, to set us apart, to transform us into the likeness of Christ. Nobody's there yet. Nobody has arrived. And so we have to surrender to Him. And by surrendering to Him and recognizing that if we're in Christ, we're wearing the armor of God. And we can go and we can stand firm, recognizing the spiritual enemies that come our way. And we can stay put and we can abound in the work of God as we stand in His grace. We stand in unity. We stand in faith. And so that's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for each of you. That's my prayer for us as a church, that we will continue to be mission ready as we enter into this fight of our life. And you may say, there's something in my life I just need to lay down before God. We'll do that. Take that time now and just lay that before God and say, God, I surrender this to you. Maybe you just need to give God a blank check. Maybe you just need to go before God and say, God, that's ultimately what the Bible says, that we go before God and we just say, God, however you want to use my life, use it. I'm yours. Unreserved use for our master. You can do whatever you want to with me. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll stop saying the things that you want me to stop saying. I will minister however you want me to minister. I am yours. I am not my own. That's what the Bible says. We were bought at a price. We're not our own. So we belong to him. So he is our commander, and we follow the mission that he sets before us. Maybe you would say, I've never surrendered to Christ. Maybe you would say, you know, my life is marked by gracelessness. I don't know what that grace is like. I've never experienced that grace. Well, you can. Because if mercy is you don't get what you deserve, and grace is you get the things that you don't deserve, that's exactly what happened in Jesus. In Jesus, the penalty that we deserved for our sin, God showed mercy and sent his son, and by grace gave us an opportunity to know him. So through Jesus, we don't get what we deserve. Jesus took what he did not deserve. The thing that we deserved, a punishment for sin, he took it upon himself. The wrath of God himself, he took it upon himself. And then through Christ, he provides a way through grace that we can know him. We can come to God and we can say, God, I want to surrender my life. I want you to use me however you want to use me. I repent of my sins. I turn away from my sin. Not that we're going to be perfect, but that we make a choice to depend upon what Jesus did on the cross for salvation. And he will save you. So if that's where you are this morning, would you ask him? Would you ask God to transform your life? Would you ask Christ to transform your heart? Would you ask Christ to come live within you and cleanse you of your sin? And then you can live in that power and in that peace in knowing that he is your God and that he has a place prepared for you, just as he does for every follower of Christ. Are you mission ready? I pray that you are. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you and we just give you all the thanks and all the glory. We give you all the praise. God, you're the only one worthy of it. And God, we come before you recognizing that you are our commander in chief. You are our king. You are our master. You are the Lord of all. There is not a single molecule in this universe that is a rogue molecule that is under your control. You are God of all. And so, Lord, we come before you recognizing your lordship over all things. And, Father, we come before you recognizing that for those of us who have decided to follow you and you have transformed and you have called us to yourself, Father, we are being changed on a daily basis. If we're surrendering and if we're dying to self, we're being changed more and more in the likeness of Christ. It's not our doing. It's not some work of our own. It's not something we can be puffed up about or be boastful about what we ourselves are doing. Father, it's all your work. It's just you. You're working. It's your power. It's your might. It's your armor. It's not ours. So, Father, I pray for each person who's watching or listening, and I pray that they would know your power, that they would call out upon your might. I pray that they would recognize that all the power, all the protection, all the provision comes from your hand. And that we would turn our sights to our spiritual foes, not our physical foes. That we would just be able to walk away from certain things that may tempt us to lead us astray. And Father, I pray for those things that we may be experiencing where we're struggling and maybe we're tempted. Father, I pray that you would, by your word, by your spirit, that we would be able to go before you and we would recognize this victory, not that we're going to win an ultimate victory, but the victory that Jesus has already ultimately won on the cross. That is the victory that we are depending upon. And Father, I pray that we would stand firm. We'd stand in your grace. We'd stand in unity. We'd stand in faith. We would stand in you. And that would be evident to everyone, not only in this season, but in the days to come, whether it's we as a church, groups as family members, or us as individuals. May we always reflect that we are mission ready and that that mission is yours and yours alone. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.